Hello and welcome to another edition of the Spodcasters, the first edition of 2014. Happy New Year to all you KU fans. I'm Matt Tate, and I'm joined by Tom Keegan. We're going to talk about 2014 real quick. Tom, any New Year's resolutions you want to share with the group before we get into the topic of today's podcast?
Well, I'm never going to write a score of the basketball.
Okay.
I never have, but right. I'm going to continue to never write score the basketball because I know that's the only thing relevant that you can score on a basketball court.
What else would you be scoring?
A date? Right. No, I don't think
probably
so.
Probably not. Maybe, though. I mean, if you're that good. If you go for 30 points and 20 rebounds, it, you know.
If you score the basketball, the date will follow.
Anyway, the topic for today has to do with sort of the future. We're going to talk about 2014 and we're going to keep this to football and basketball today. There's all kinds of exciting things ahead for various KU programs, but today we're going to focus it on football and basketball. Tom and I are going to say three players on the football team we're looking forward to seeing in 2014, and then we're going to give you two basketball moments that we're looking forward to, whether it's a game or some other moment coming up on the calendar. So, Tom, let's start with football. You had the first draft pick in this exercise, so why don't you divulge the number one player you're looking forward to on the KU football team for 2014?
Kevin Short. We saw how well that the Ja'Cory Shepherd and Dexter McDonald did under Dave Campos' tutelage. Now I'm really excited to see the cornerback, JUCO cornerback, who they really felt was as talented as any of the JUCO recruits in the secondary, and he didn't get academic clearance because he took too many credits in the summer or something like that. And now he's ready to go, and you heard nothing but good things about what a talented guy this guy is. And I'm glad that he wasn't eligible because now it gives him 3 years to get 2 years worth of work academically toward a degree. It increases his chances of leaving here with a degree. And that's one extra year of coaching from Dave Campo and Scott Vestal, two excellent coaches from two different generations. I think this guy could be really exciting, and their secondary could be really good.
Yeah, I think the coolest thing about this year for Kevin Short is the fact that he stuck it out. You know, I mean, it shows something about him. It would have been real easy to be upset and want to leave and want to go play somewhere else or anything like that. Because I do think he got a little bit of a raw deal in that. I mean, he was allowed to show up and then kind of pulled at the last minute, and you know that we covered when it happened, but. I think it's impressive that he was able to stick it out and went through an entire season knowing he couldn't play, knowing he couldn't have any impact on the team, but still focused, worked hard, got after it, you know, bonded with teammates, all that stuff. So I'm right there with you. I think that's an awesome pick, and I think it's going to be really interesting because, like you mentioned, Ja'Cory Shepherd and Dexter McDonald had really good years. Does he play with them? Does he, bump one of them out of the starting lineup? How are they going to make that work? That's something to watch, too.
It is, and you notice Victor Simmons, who, as the year went on, lost some playing time, but he's going to be moved to the buck position, Charlie said. Maybe you've got Short, McDonald, and Shepherd all out there, and one of them is the nickelback.
Yeah, very possible. Very possible.
And that's pretty exciting when you think about that.
Well, and then there's some decent depth behind that if some of these other guys pan out. So fast and athletic. That's
and bigger,
the idea. Yeah.
Bigger. I mean, Kevin Short's a big guy, 6'2".
True.
And Dexter McDonald's a pretty big guy. You know, Ja'Cory Shepherd's not small. So they got more athletic and bigger in the secondary.
Yeah, that's a good point and a good pick. My first choice is pretty easy one, I think, and his name is Nick Harwell. Same situation. He was here all last year, knew he couldn't play, but everything that we heard about him was that he really worked this offseason, or this season, I should say, while he couldn't play. Obviously transferred from Miami of Ohio, wide receiver, something that KU really missed, not having him out there this year.
Yeah.
Who knows what kind of an impact he would have made? Who knows how different this offense would have been if he were able to play? But I think it'll be really cool to see what kind of impact he can have once he is able to get out there. You know, I don't think, and I know you agree with this, I don't think this is a Justin McKay situation where there's a lot of hype and expectation and excitement around him, and then he goes out there and doesn't do much.
No, the difference is he's done it. He's right. done it at the college level for 3 years, three terrific seasons.
Right.
That makes him different from every four-year transfer that Charlie Weiss has had.
Right.
Probably the second best performer pre-KU at a four-year school is probably Jake Heaps.
Yeah.
But Dane Chris was so-so at best at Notre Dame.
Well, at best. I mean, he didn't even play, really.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so he was not, and Heaps was so-so at best at BYU, a little worse at Kansas because the team around him was worse.
Sure.
But, and then you've got the Notre Dame guys, the tight end Ragone and the linebacker McDonald.
Josh Williams from Nebraska. Yeah. So it hasn't been a great track record.
No, right. But none of them had great track records.
Coming here.
Yeah. So that's why I think you are who you are to an extent. And Harwell was a superstar in Miami of Ohio and had two great games against Big Ten teams. So I don't think the step up in competition is going to be
absolutely. And two things I think he'll bring. I think he's got sure hands, which is huge on this team. I mean, that'll make him look like Jerry Rice, you know. And number two, I think he's strong. I think he's physically at a different level than really any receivers that we've seen here in a long time. I mean, even when you think about Desmond Briscoe, he wasn't a strong receiver. He was just very skilled. But this guy's physical and strong. I'm excited to see what he can do. You mentioned my second pick in the football draft, and it is Jake Heaps.
Interesting.
I'm a believer in Jake Heaps. I think the guy has ability. I think he has talent. I think he can play. I think he needs help. I think he needs a strong supporting cast around him. That's good offensive line. That's receivers and tight ends that'll catch the ball, a running game, all that stuff. He didn't have much of that, if any of it, this year. And it made him look like he can't play. But I'm interested to see. And there's no guarantee that he's even going to be the guy. I mean, he'll be in a battle with Montel Cozart and T.J. Millward, guys that could easily have been in this draft too. So he may not end up being the guy. But I'm interested to see if he can, what he can do with John Regan as the offensive coordinator, what he can do with a better offensive line if they can find one, and maybe a guy like Harwell too. So
I think it's a big part of it, the new offensive coordinator, because spread offense allows you some of those crossing patterns and stuff like that that are quick hit plays.
Right.
That Charlie didn't seem to play the under much or the middle of the field even with guys crossing. And
there were times when he did that with Tony Pearson, and it worked. And I think a lot of it was then it started getting taken away by the defense.
Yeah.
And so,
but I think Charlie does that too much.
Right.
He reacts to, as soon as the defense takes something away, he assumes it's going to work. Well,
right.
Just go ahead and keep going with it if it works and make them stop it. Don't assume it's going to get stopped.
Sure.
I think that's an NFL thing where the disparity in talent on the field, the worst player on the field isn't all that much worse than the best player, whereas in football, Tony Pearson is way faster than any Rice defensive players.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He didn't touch the ball, so that's what was frustrating about watching Charlie's offense off.
Sure, and one thing, too, about that, you know, in the spring game, that's what Jake did. I mean, he got the ball out in two and a half, 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Quick drops and throw. And I really thought that's what was coming. And maybe the line and the breakdown there was part of the reason it never did, but I think maybe we're headed toward that with Reagan as the offensive coordinator and this new offense, and I'm excited to see that.
And the offensive line coach, you know, and he'll have help, but he'll
sure.
He really knows what he's doing. And the thing is with Heaps, you saw those two late-season games, Kansas State and then the freezing one, Iowa State, where he was making some nice throws, and they just kept getting dropped. And you saw him throw the one into the end zone over the middle, and you could see he was trying to do a long touch pass because he was afraid it was going to get dropped.
Yeah.
So those drops got into his head.
Right.
You know, that was intercepted because he was just trying to feather it in there because he was sick and tired of watching these well-thrown balls
zipped
into
passes,
tight spots.
Hit them, yeah.
Drop.
Chest, hands, ground, whatever.
I mean,
yeah, that's.
And I do think we disagree on this a little. I do think he needs a softer touch on short passes.
Certainly, yeah. I think that's something, too. The thing about Jake that I am intrigued by, beyond all the stuff that's already been talked about, is he'll continue to transform and change and get better. So maybe he can't be the same guy he was this year under Reagan. But this guy's as competitive and as hard a working guy as I've seen. Right. And I think he'll be open to the challenge and willing to embrace the challenge of, well, if I have to reshape myself A, B, C, if I have to get a little faster, I'm in. You know, it's his last season of college football. Why wouldn't he? So that's why I picked him. Who was your second pick in the football draft?
I do think that's interesting. Ben Johnson, it was my pick, and he's a tight end who at the last minute, Oklahoma was kind of hanging around trying to steal Ben Johnson from Kansas when he was recruited out of Baser Linwood. And
you could probably just stop talking right there,
right? Yeah, exactly. I mean,
tells you a lot.
And one thing I do like about Charlie, he's very very conservative with his red shirts.
Yeah.
He likes the red shirt guys, particularly guys who bigger bodies means better bodies. He's put on a lot of weight. He's getting close to 250. He's got great hands, Ben Johnson, and he runs pretty well for his size. This is a really exciting prospect at tight end. And you know how tight end is. You need more than one guy. So even if Jermaine Mundine gets over the drops,
right,
you're going to see a lot of Ben Johnson on the field, and you're going to like what you see. That's my prediction.
Cool. I like that one a lot. I mean, I've known the kid a long time. When he was younger, I knew him a little bit. He plays tight end a little like Ben Heaney plays linebacker. He's a little bit of that, I don't care what happens to me. I just want to hit people.
That's
awesome. I just want to catch the ball. I just want to play football. And football's physical and tough and nasty. And he's that kind of guy. So I like that call. I think that could be really fun. And he could really have an impact on this team if he has a role, because that's a guy that can make plays. He's athletic.
Good basketball player.
Right. So good hands. You know, again, as we mentioned with Harwell, if you can catch the football, you're going to look like, you know, an all-pro on this team, and you'll play.
You're going to look like Fred Biletnikoff.
There you go. All right, your last football pick in this little exercise, the number three guy you're most looking forward to watching.
Andrew Bolton.
Or seeing, I should say. You know, Tony Pearson's still got to be near the top of our list.
Well, yeah, but we know
these are
we
sort of, right, that, yeah.
When you're talking about Tony Pearson, but I think Kansas has a real good prospect at defensive line in Andrew Bolton. And again, you like to see who else was snooping around when he was a recruit. And LSU was snooping around until he hurt his knee.
Right.
And his knee didn't fully recover for him in time to play this season. He probably could have played, but if you're not going to be 100%, another great move. Knees take a couple years to get back to full strength generally. And this was a guy who's a tremendous prospect. We know that Marquel Combs was a tremendous prospect that didn't work hard at all. But this guy looks more the part than Marquel Combs ever did. And, you know, let's see. He played with Tadarian Johnson, I believe, for 1 year in junior college.
Yeah.
And Tadarian Johnson, I think, has exceeded expectations. And expectations are high for Andrew Bolton. So let's see what happens there.
Yeah, and that was a name that was exciting last year, too. You know, I mean, largely because of the position, I think. The pass rushing in, menace off the edge, you know, a guy that can really disrupt things. And you know, without putting too much on him, who knows if he'll be that guy. He may just be very solid. He may be a star, but I agree with you. He belongs on this list, no question about it. And my last guy that I think also belongs on this list is sort of in the same mold as Jake Heaps. It's a guy that we have seen, but I still wonder what's there. I still wonder what this year is going to be like, and that's Taylor Cox. James Sims is gone, and that's a guy who led this program in rushing each of the 4 years he was here, and he improved on his season total each of those 4 years. So there's a big hole there for somebody to step in and be a featured back type of guy, a workhorse, a guy who can carry the load. And
Taylor Cox is faster than James Sims.
Much faster, yeah.
He's not as shifty, but he is faster than James Sims.
Yeah.
And he's a little bigger, too.
Yeah, right. I mean, when we saw Cox play in the what would that have been, the 2012 season, there were times where I remember watching him run and thinking, wow, that looks a lot like James, especially the inside stuff where he's pushing the pile and using his – he's a strong guy as well.
Yep.
Like you said, a little bigger frame, a little bigger body than James had. So I think, you know, they still have Brandon Bourbon. Darian Miller sounds like he'll be back. Tony Pearson still could factor in as a ball carrier. Trayvon Wrench will be here, a freshman out of Gardner-Edgerton. It'd be really nice if they could redshirt him and didn't have to use him and let him grow up and physically mature even a little more. But I like Taylor Cox to have as good a chance as anybody to step into that role and to really shine. I mean, I think this is another guy that can play in the NFL. And I think if he has a good year, he could get a crack at that. So I'm excited to see what he can do. I'm excited for him, too, because total team player, wonderful attitude, great to talk to.
Yeah.
And a guy who was willing to, you know, take this red shirt. And I think it's cool because the red shirt came because he ended up getting injured. He ended up hurting his hamstring. But he considered it before that. And I think it's cool that he decided he didn't want to do it because he wanted to try. He wanted to play. I mean, who doesn't, you know? So totally a character guy the whole way. And I'm excited about maybe what he could bring to the table.
Yeah, if you ask me right now who's going to lead the team in rushing next year, that would be my answer.
There you go.
And you could be wrong because there's a lot of candidates. And Tony Pearson, if he could stay healthy, may end up carrying the ball a lot next year.
Sure. And I tell you, Trayvon Wrench, I know we just talked about it'd be a great thing if he could redshirt. But if we learn one thing from Charlie Weiss, it's the best guys are going to play.
Yeah.
And if he's the best guy, he'll play him.
He'll play him. Remember, I forget what game we were on the road for, some Kansas football game.
KU-Baylor, I think, 2012.
Was it? Okay. And we were watching online that the game was streaming live.
810 Sports, I think, streamed it live.
Okay.
Right?
And we watched Trayvon Wrench, and he carried the ball 50 times.
Lawrence High against Gardner-Edgerton in the playoffs, I think it was, right?
And he's not a big guy.
Ridiculous to watch. Yeah, it was ridiculous impressive to watch. Yeah, and he's not a big guy, but he's similar build to James Sims.
Right.
Now, you know, and that's as a true freshman where it took James his whole career to get to that point. So he's intriguing. He's still a name to keep an eye on, and I wouldn't really be surprised either way. If he's in the mix right away and he's playing a lot, I wouldn't be surprised. If they redshirt him and save the years, that wouldn't surprise me either. But he's a big-time talent. That he's going to be fun to have around here. So, yeah, you know, football – spring ball's not far away now, just a few months. The real thing, fall camp, is still 8 months away, but never too early to start talking about it. You know, this is what the best part about our jobs, and I know a lot of fans enjoy this part of it as much as anybody, too. So let's shift gears real quick to the season that we are in. It is basketball season. We can't really do the same thing because obviously Cliff Alexander and Kelly Oubre and you know the new class that will be coming in toward the end of 2014 would be obvious picks, and really there aren't many more. So and then everybody else we're already seeing play. So we're not going to pick players for basketball, but we are going to pick moments, whether that's a game or something coming up. We each pick two of these. I'll let you start with your number one moment that you're looking forward to with Kansas basketball in 2014.
Okay, and this is a moment, obviously the odds are against this happening, but I would like to see, for the third time in 7 years, Bill Self and John Calipari going at it in the NCAA title game. But it's not because of the coaching matchup that I want to see that the most. I want to see that for the big man, Joel Embiid, starting for Kansas, going against Dakari Johnson coming off the bench for Kentucky. Dakari Johnson was at high school with Embiid in Embiid's junior year.
Okay.
And Embiid never got to play much at all because Dakari Johnson was so much advanced from Joel, farther advanced in the game of basketball. Now Embiid is past him, and that would be such a cool symbolic thing for his, let's face it, his last game,
right?
To see how far he has come in that short a time.
Not to mention some other pretty good matchups in that game.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, there'd be some pretty good athletes.
I mean, Randall and Wiggins, you know, some people thought Randall would come here and Wiggins would go there.
Right.
You never knew.
It'd be unbelievable storylines.
Some people tried to pretend that they had insights and that was the hot thing to say. And
right. Well, Willie Cauley-Stein is a Kansas guy.
Right, exactly, with the white hair.
Yeah. So that would be obviously exciting. I think anybody listening would probably take that matchup in a heartbeat because that would mean KU made the final game. So yeah, that but that's a good one. I like the logic. I like the reason, and I'm going to piggyback on that just a little bit. But I'm going to say one of my big moments that I'm looking forward to is early April. I don't know the day yet, but it's usually early April, and that's the day that these guys that are deciding to go pro or to stay sit in that room and announce their intentions. And I think it's really going to be interesting this year. Obviously, Wiggins is going to be a top pick. Obviously, Embiid would be a top pick too. So you figured that that's probably where the money is. Now, but a guy like Wayne Selden, does he, you know, he's Gary Bedore's talked about talking with scouts that say he's a top 10 pick too, you know. So
yeah, I don't see that, but
Right, yeah. So does he stay or does he go? And really, as much as I agree with you just saying, let's face it, Embiid's last year here or whatever, isn't there some intrigue that what if he did come back one more year?
Well,
Go ahead.
I think there is, and I think that he would be more likely than Wiggins, but I actually think Wiggins would benefit even more than Embiid in another year.
Yeah.
Because he's got such a high ceiling, and he really cares. He does. I like that about him. He's a competitive guy.
Wiggins,
right. Yeah. Right. He's a competitive guy, and I think that side of him is a little underrated. But he's not. It does not have a tight handle yet.
Right.
And he will.
Right.
You know, the more he's challenged by quick defenders, if he could tighten that up and polish his shot and then enter the NBA after another year. But that's not going to happen.
Right,
said it. But I really think that that would be cool.
Yeah, and you never know. You know, I mean, yeah. I just think that's the day is exciting. Even if you know what's going to happen, it's kind of cool to wonder.
Yeah.
And I think with Embiid, I think that's a guy. The reason I think there might be some intrigue there is he could stand to get physically stronger. He really could. Partly because he's just not there yet. The other part is because at that level, those guys that he's going to be playing against are freaking monsters. So his ability to impact the NBA would be better if he went into it stronger.
Yeah.
And I think mostly what I notice is I think it's his lower body. I think he could spend some time really developing his leg strength, and that would make him
definitely
an even more incredible and more dangerous prospect. And that's two guys, too, that don't have a situation like we've seen with Thomas Robinson or Ben McLemore, where their family life kind of dictated that they needed to go. Both of those guys come from families that seem to be in pretty good shape financially and otherwise. So you never know. But I like that moment, so I'm going to throw that on the top of my list. And the other one I have is actually just a couple of days away. It's Kansas at Iowa State. I really think at Oklahoma will be tough. K-State at home, a tough game. But I think they're, you know, that Hilton game is just something else. And I think that's the next big test for these young guys to get a real taste of conference play. Who knows? Oklahoma could give them fits, but that atmosphere is not all that amazing. K-State at home probably won't be that difficult. So
right.
I feel like that'll be the first taste for these young guys of Big 12 basketball, you know, life on the road, Ames, Iowa, miserable. Those fans are going to be
Melbourne
beside
weather.
Themselves ready for that one. I think it's a big Monday game even. So, you know, I there are a ton of games to look forward to in the Big 12 race. But that one's one, and that one's right around the corner. So I'm pumped about that one.
Yeah, that's a great one. I always love going there.
Yeah.
Hilton Magic.
Exactly.
And the Hoiberg Magic.
There you go.
The mayor is something else. My second basketball is kind of a similar one because it's on the road, March 1st at Oklahoma State in Stillwater, because by then both these teams are going to be pretty close to being who they are.
Right.
There's not a lot of time after that.
Right.
So what you see is what you get, and by then they'll be, I would think, two of the top six or seven teams in the country, if not two of the top five.
Yeah.
And it might have sort of a seeding implication either, but mainly just the game to see all that talent on the floor in one game and with Kansas on the road.
Yeah, yeah. I almost feel like they play Oklahoma State in Lawrence on the 18th of January.
Right.
It's actually their game right after Iowa State, 5 days later.
What a couple of tough games
yeah,
that is.
Yeah, so they'll obviously match up before that, but I almost feel like people are getting robbed by having to wait all the way until March 1st for KU to go to Stillwater. I'm sure Coach Self doesn't feel that way. I'm sure he's thrilled that it comes at that time of the year. But I just think that's funny. And the two games that KU has left after that are Texas Tech at home and at West Virginia. So if it is a Big 12 race type of game, it could be huge. And what's even cooler is 2 weeks after that game is the Big 12 championship game in Kansas City. Maybe they could meet there too. So all kinds of stuff. But I figured when we did this, one of us would have at Iowa State and one of us would have at Oklahoma State. It just seems to make sense. Those will be two of the tougher games left. There's no question about it. So any final thoughts as we head into 2014, at least final thoughts on this exercise?
Well, I'm just really looking forward to it, and I hope that somehow, some way, Ryan Graves, the pitching coach of Kansas, can find that knuckleballer in the wild somewhere. You know he's out there somewhere. You never see knuckleball pitchers in college baseball. This is what my dream is. And if he's a really great knuckleballer, pitch him Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Wow. That's heavy. I was not ready for that, I'll be honest. I was Except not ready for
that.
You'd probably
get used to it by the third day.
Yeah, that's true. Sunday would probably be rough, but a good thought, no less. If you haven't read Tom's thoughts on the knuckleball, Google it. KUSports.com, Tom Keegan, knuckleball. You'll find all you want to know right there. That's all the time we have, but thanks for checking it out, and Happy New Year once again. It's going to be a great year of all kinds of stuff here at KUSports.com. We got a lot of fun things planned and new things, old things, all kinds of great stuff. So check us out throughout the year, and we'll talk to you guys next time.